Hello and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Sherry Hoyt. Joining me today is Anna DiPico, author of To Make Writers Faster, the journey of entrepreneurs Gerard Fruman and Phil White as they take a school project from a basement in Montreal, Canada, and develop it into one of the most respected cycling brands in the industry, Cervelo Cycles. Before we start, here's a little bit more about Anna. Anna DiPico never imagined herself as a writer, but felt compelled to write the story of Phil White and Gerard Fruman, co-founders of Cervelo Cycles. Married to Phil, she had an insider's view of their story from when Phil and Gerard first met to when they sold their company. Anna was not only Phil's wife, but a business person as well, with financing experience that proved useful after Phil and Gerard started their company. She provided a home for Cervelo in the early years, became a business advisor to the company, and in later years went to work for the company. She spent 3 years writing the Cervelo story and released the book in May 2018. For more information about Anna and her book, To Make Writers Faster, visit her website at tomakewritersfaster.com. Hi, Anna. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live.
Thank you. Hello.
So to get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about your book, To Make Writers Faster?
Yeah, To Make Writers Faster is a book about Phil and Gerard. Phil is actually my husband and was my husband at the time that he met Gerard at school. So it's a story about Phil and Gerard, engineering students who worked on a school bike project, and then they turned it into a global leading brand in about less than 10 years.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And I was actually surprised to learn that you never imagined that you would write a book and never imagined yourself an author. So what did inspire you to write the book?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I never imagined myself as a writer. But, you know, sometimes life brings you opportunities and you just have to jump in. And that's exactly what happened. I worked for Cervelo until the end of 2012. And Phil and I were on a cycling trip the earlier part of 2014, and I hadn't taken on employment since I left the company in 2012. And on the cycling trip, we were with about 70 other fellow cyclists, and when they found out that we were with Cervelo and Phil was one of the co-founders, they expressed great interest and enthusiasm, and they asked questions on and off the bike all the time, breakfast, lunch, dinner. It was amazing support. And one day I was just sitting at the bar thinking, you know, what an amazing ride the whole Cervelo story was. And then I just put the feelings that I had towards this incredible journey and all the questions that people were asking while we were on the trip. And the light bulb just came on, and I thought, well, there's got to be a story in this, and I should write the book. And since I wasn't employed, I thought, well, maybe this is my next chapter in life. So I asked Phil and Gerard, because I wanted to be sure I had their support. And then, of course, I wanted them as reviewers for the book as well.
Right.
And they both agreed. They both supported. And the more I thought about the idea, the more compelled I was. And I jumped both feet in.
Yeah, I guess you did. It's a beautiful book, I have to say.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, the amount of work you put into it is evident, and it just looks incredible. How long did it take to write, put it all together, start to finish?
Yeah, so it took about 3 years in total. Mm. I spent the first year and a little bit interviewing both Phil and Gerard, as well as employees. Athletes, customers, other partners of the company. And as I interviewed, I wrote, and it was kind of an iterative process. So I would interview for a bit, maybe a couple weeks, and then I would write. And this back and forth went on for a little over a year. And editing and more interviewing happened for about another year. And then putting the book together took probably another 6 months or so. And yeah, it was almost to the date 3 years later that I hit the print button.
Wow. How did that feel?
Well, that was a little bit scary. The first time I got pages of the book was really exciting. Mm-hmm. I finally had a chance to look at what the book was going to look like, the pictures along with the text and the chapters and all the colors. So that was really gratifying and really exciting. And I ran around, showing people. And I guess it was about almost close to 2 months after that when I actually hit the print button. And, that was a bit scary because, you're not sure if you made right decisions on, the amount of run that you purchased, whether or not the book was going to be accepted. All those, questions run through your mind as you hit the print button. But,
right.
3 years of work, you made the investment, so... So, there was no other option but to hit the print button at that point.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. I'm really curious to find out what the guys think of the book, how it all turned out.
Oh, I think Phil and Gerard are pretty pleased, and they're pretty proud of the accomplishment. They reviewed the book the whole way through the process. Mm. And both Phil and Gerard also had that same kind of initial feeling when they first saw the pages. When I brought them home, Phil was actually the first person that I shared the pages with for the first time. And we were actually sitting at the dining room table. I think this is a moment that will always be etched in my mind. We were sitting in the dining room table, and I gave him a package, and he said, "Oh, so what's this?" I said, "Those are the pages." "Oh, well, what are pages?" I said, "Well, it's really a draft of the book." He's like, "Oh, wow, well, this is pretty exciting." And as he looked through the pages, he didn't really say anything, and I could see his expression. He was just totally captivated. And about halfway through, he looked at me and he said, "Wow, this is kind of impressive." So that was an exciting moment for me. And I think both Gerard and Phil are pretty pleased with the outcome.
Yeah, that's real exciting because it's kind of scary. I think it's even more scary probably to show it to someone that you're close to, than it might have been to a stranger,
Yeah, well, I figured if Phil had that kind of response, then it was, going to be the same for others that were interested in the book.
Yeah.
Had he said, "Oh, this actually needs some more work," then then of course I would have said, "Absolutely. We'll do whatever you think it is we need to do."
Right. So what kind of reception have you received to your book so far?
Oh, it's been absolutely incredible. It's kind of interesting. We had the track championships in Milton, just north of Toronto, a couple weekends ago. And I had some people approach me that had purchased my book. Mm. And I guess they recognized me from some of my book signing events and perhaps the picture on the website. Mm-hmm. But they approached me and, they thanked me for writing the book. Mm. And they said, I thoroughly enjoyed the story. It's really inspirational. And it gave me that inside view of what, everyone had to accomplish to get bikes out to market. And, they said, "I have a renewed sense of perspective now that I understand all the work, sweat, tears, and blood that went into running a company."
Right.
And they also mentioned that, this is a Canadian story, and you've actually just written a piece of Canadian history, which I hadn't really thought about as I went through the process, but there's truth to that. This is the Kane story, and it's part of our history. So that's kind of special to me as well.
Yeah.
I've had some people review the book, and the reviews are all coming in with a high recommended reading. Doug Hull, who's one of America's top innovation experts, he gave the book a highly recommended. He actually said that it's a book that's recommended for anyone that wants to do anything meaningful, because the book is really about achieving excellence and what it takes to not only achieve excellence, but continuously delivering on excellence.
Yeah, that's what I took away most from it was their drive for excellence. Whether they were going through good times or bad, they pretty much seemed like they stayed consistent. You know, this is our focus. This is what needs to be done, and whatever needed to be done is what they did. I love that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I admire most about Phil and Gerard is that, you know, they had a vision and they stuck to it no matter whether things were going well or things were not going so well. They were completely committed to their vision. And, you know, I think it's one of the key reasons why they were successful. Phil and I were just actually at the Edwards School of Business, which is the business department of the University of Saskatoon. And we were actually both there giving a talk to the entrepreneurship class. And Phil was talking about innovation. And, you know, that was one of his key messages is, you know, you have to understand your why and you have to deliver on your purpose. And one of the things he said was, you know, if you tell me you don't like my bike and you're not interested, that's absolutely fine because I want to capture the people that understand my why. Those are the people that I want. And that just speaks to the vision that they both had, and they were willing to stick with it no matter what.
And that's great business advice too. So how are your marketing efforts coming along? That's always the fun part for authors when they finish their books.
Well, you know, marketing has turned out to be both fun and very difficult. It's fun from the perspective that I love doing the book signings. I love going out and public speaking. I love meeting people. And it's just so great to hear other people's stories and why they like the book, how they're sharing it with others, and you know, why they love their bikes. They love sharing their Cervelo stories, and it's so gratifying to hear. And it's so wonderful to be part of other people's lives. The flip side of that, though, is that it's really marketing is difficult. You know, just getting out there and making your voice heard is difficult. And just because you've had, you know, 100 hits to your website that day doesn't necessarily mean anybody's going to purchase. So it's the difficult part is, you know, making sure your voice is heard, making sure that you're continuously marketing and determining what's working and what's not working, and making sure that you continually strive to, you know, just help potential customers know what the book is about, how it will help them, and make sure that you can continuously reach other potential customers. The book publishing business is, I find it's a tricky business. And because I'm an outsider to the industry, it takes some time to learn and takes some time to connect with people in the industry.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, self-publishing has done a lot to get authors out there that we might never have heard from. But it is hard. And the authors that take the time, that want to go the self-publishing route and that take the time to learn all the ins and outs, like you said, it's not easy, but if you do that, it's going to be a lot easier going forward. Now, it is a lot to learn at first.
It is an available channel now to people who want to you know, write books, and you know, needs to be explored, and it's an option. And just like anything else, you have to learn what's going to work for you.
Yeah. Now, if you had to do it over again, would you have done any part of your experience differently?
The writing process for me went really well. I really enjoyed it. I found it very rewarding. I found an editor that worked really well with me. That was actually a big challenge. It took me about 6 or 7 months to find an editor to work with. So I knew that was going to be a key success factor for me. So I really wanted to find the right person. And I think he really made the writing process for me a good, enjoyable process. So I don't think I would change anything differently about the writing process. In terms of what happened afterward, like the sales, marketing, distribution, I don't know that I would make any changes.
the good part of doing it the way you did it was you had control over the whole project.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because Cervello is a brand, I had to make sure that I had control over the brand, and writing it myself and then self-publishing was really the avenues that gave me that full control. So I don't know that I would necessarily change anything. I think everything went pretty well. I mean, the only thing is that I have a garage full of books right now, so the car has to stay out in the winter.
Oh.
So I don't, which means I'm getting into a cold car and I have to shovel off the snow, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, no.
So
yeah, that's
so
not
maybe
fun.
Finding it. Yeah, no. So maybe finding another place to store the books, or having some kind of print on demand situation might have been better. But I think it all went really well, and I don't think I would change anything.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You mentioned going to book signings, and have you approached any bookstores like indie or mainstream bookstores?
I haven't. My first avenue was to approach retailers that were Cervello dealers, mostly because that would be my most engaged market.
Right.
I did look into getting carried at Indigo, which is a national chain in Canada, but I believe that they don't carry self-published authors. And then in terms of all the independent bookstores, they've showed interest, but of course everything is on consignment. And then reconciling everything that's on consignment and then constantly following up is something that I just don't have the time and energy to do right now.
Right.
Perhaps that'll change in the future, but for right now, this is what I'm pursuing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like you said earlier, whatever you have to do, whatever works for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I know a percentage of the net proceeds support CAN Fund, and that is a nonprofit supporting Canadian athletes. Can you tell us a little bit about this venture?
Yeah, so we met Jane Ruth, who is the owner, probably about 9 years ago now through Cervello. I can't actually remember how we met, but I believe that she contacted Cervello for support of an auction she was doing to raise funding for Canadian athletes. And we really like Jane. We really like what she was doing for Canadian athletes. And we struck up a personal and a working relationship, and we've continued to support her throughout the years. So CAN Fund is one of the few organizations that actually contributes directly to Canadian athletes. So there isn't an agency in between her and the Canadian athletes who take an overhead. So and there's huge comfort in knowing that all of the funding goes directly to the Canadian athletes. And, you know, I believe in giving to our athletes because a lot of them don't have the financial support to be able to follow their dreams.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty expensive profession for sure.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
Yeah.
They have to train, which pretty much takes their entire day. So if you need to consider earning a living while you're training, it's quite a difficult task. And then, you know, to consider all your equipment, your coaching fees, your traveling fees, your entrance fees, all of that really, really adds up.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you like to do in your free time?
Yeah, so I'm a little more of a runner than I am a cyclist. So I really enjoy running, and a couple times a year I'd like to go out and run a half somewhere where I wouldn't normally go to. This year I actually went out to Halifax out in the Maritime provinces of Canada. I've never been out east, so I thought, well, this is a really good opportunity to go see a part of Canada I wouldn't normally go to.
Yeah.
So I ran the Halifax Blue Nose, which was really fun. Everybody out in Halifax came out and lined the streets of the route, which was totally amazing. I've never seen such a great reception.
Yeah.
And very, very, very hilly. It was one of the more hillier runs that I've done. And then next year, I hope to go to Patagonia in Chile and run a half down there. So,
oh wow,
that's so that's going to be my big reward for my, I guess, for whatever accomplishments I finish with the book at that time.
Yeah. Oh, so running a half marathon doesn't sound like a reward to me. We do a, my husband and I, the local turkey trot on Thanksgiving here. So that's 5 miles and I earned my Thanksgiving dinner.
Awesome. Yeah. Actually, Phil and I run the turkey trot in Buffalo every year.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, we have some really close friends in Buffalo, and a whole gang of us go out and run the trip. It's awesome.
Now, you're also busy managing a nonprofit called Endeavor Volunteer Consulting. What type of service does this organization provide?
Yes, Endeavor Volunteer Consulting is a Canadian charity which offers consulting to the smaller nonprofits that otherwise wouldn't be able to afford professional consulting services. And I got started with Endeavor probably 5 years ago now as an engagement manager for a consulting team. And we were working on a marketing consulting engagement. And at the end of that engagement, I decided to stay on with the organization. I really enjoyed the organization. The two founders were university students that wanted to make a difference after they graduated, and they started Endeavor with as a bootstrap nonprofit company right out of school.
Wow.
And so after the consulting round, I was responsible for training and development and spent a few years doing that. And then one of the founders had to step away this year because she started a family and just found the responsibilities a bit overwhelming. So I stepped in for her, and we have typically two consulting rounds, one in the fall and one in the spring. Mm. And we have probably about 10 to 12 customers that that will provide consulting services to. And it's just been an awesome experience. Our customers are just very passionate, committed, and dedicated people who want to make a difference in the community. Mm-hmm. And they range everywhere from health services, boys and girls camping, educational services, just a wide spectrum of services. And we have like a high, a 95 or 98% satisfaction rating, which is just incredible, and I hope to be able to keep it up.
Yeah. So how does it work? What's the process for obtaining these services?
Yeah, so we have an application process for our clients. After the application process, there's a series of interviews, and then depending on fit and readiness, mm-hmm. We will determine anywhere from about 4 to 6 clients that that we can engage with around. We'd like to do a greater number, but right now our capacity sits at about between serving 4 and 6 clients around.
Yeah. Where can people learn more about this?
Yeah. Information and applications are available on our website, which is Endeavor Volunteer. And it's a .ca,
okay.
Being a Canadian organization.
Right. Okay, great. So, Anna, to wrap it up, I wanted to get your final thoughts on writing. What is the best advice you can give to aspiring authors based on your own writing journey?
Yeah, I think what was key for me, and what other authors shared with me as a key success factor, was finding the right editor for you. Finding someone that understands what it is you want to accomplish and then helps you to achieve that vision. And I think just enjoy it. You know, life is short, and I think everyone should pursue and live their dream if they can.
Yeah, that's great advice. I love it. Well, thank you, Anna, so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed getting to know you.
Oh, great. And thank you so much for the opportunity. And I loved our chat today, Sherry.
To our listeners, thank you for joining me today on Inside Scoop Live for my interview with Anna Dopico, author of To Make Writers Faster. For more information about Anna and her book, visit her website at tomakewritersfaster.com. And be sure to check out our other interviews at InsideScoopLive.com.